Hello and welcome back to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word hand car washing business located in Churchill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. We encourage you to come by and allow us to work to earn our keep and to support this ministry. We also invite you to go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can find out all the information about this ministry, about these Bible teachings, and about the business. Speaking of business, let's get back to the business at hand, which is teaching God's word in all of its fullness, one verse at a time, skipping over nothing, leaving nothing out. And we ended in our last teaching talking about how important it is to acknowledge Christ and the power that he had and still has, and also to acknowledge his existence in the world then and in the world now. And you know, we kind of surmise as we closed in our last message that God has put eternity in our hearts. It says that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that there is something in every one of us that seeks something higher. And that something higher, of course, is Jesus. But there are so many people, and it's becoming more and more evident, are just denying the existence of Christ. They're denying the power of Christ. And even those who would acknowledge that Christ existed, they would acknowledge that Christ did miracles, that they might even acknowledge that he's the savior of the world, these same people still deny their life and the giving over of themselves to him. You got to remember that the God of Israel is real. The God of Israel, the same God back then that is today, the one true and only Holy Almighty of Israel, is real. And everyone must choose. And men may or may not be free to decide the way that they wish to choose, but they are not free to choose the consequences. In other words, you can go ahead and decide if you're going to accept Christ or not accept Christ. That's your choice. But the consequences of that choice, you are not free to choose those. So in a meeting such as this, we left off talking about how the Sanhedrin, the chief priest, and the Jewish council, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, all got together, and they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do about this guy? And you know, in meetings like this, even in today's society, men will go back and forth and they'll dangle ideas at the end of the poll, you know, looking for someone to bite, to see if they got a solution to the problem. And, you know, these Pharisees, they're kind of like our Congress, you know, meeting together to solve problems. But just as the opposite of pro is con, the opposite of progress is Congress. I don't know if you ever heard that one before, but that's kind of what happens when meetings like this get together. They talk a lot, they go back and forth, but really there isn't a whole lot of progress. But one man has a solution. The high priest, the Sadducee, he does not believe in God particularly, these Sadducees. They don't believe in anything really supernatural. They deny miracles. They deny the existence of angels. They deny, you know, even life after death. But this one Sadducee had a typical, what we might call today, secular human point of view in regards to the problem that they were having here. And his suggestion is not based on the denial of the resurrection or resuscitation of Lazarus, because that's not going to get him any pharisaical support. But rather, he focuses on the control of power. This is how he gets people behind him. And we're going to look at him in just a second in verse 49. But the funny thing here is that both groups have tried and failed to apprehend Jesus in the past. And when an individual person or a party or a group of people fails at trying to remove God from society, these people will eventually band together. It's a classic example of the old adage, the enemy of my enemy is what? My friend. And so even when you look at the book of Revelation in chapter 10, where it starts talking about this 10-headed beast that comes up out of the ocean. And, you know, this 10-headed beast is 10 kingdoms that have basically banded together for the eradication of the truth of God and God's word. And so, even though the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't exactly see eye to eye, they were still going to work together to get rid of their common disinterest, and that, of course, being Jesus. And today, we see this at work. Many organizations, and I'll put that in air quotes, they seek to remove God. They want to take Jesus and the Bible out of society, and they want to promote their homosexual agenda. They want to promote their abortion rights. They want to promote their iniquities and their pornographies and all of the idolatries. And they want to do this because it pleases them. They want to continue to take and feed that which makes the flesh feel good. And even today, most of the people out there that don't deny God, but they do deny the concept of foregoing on their own power to reach him. They'll say something like, sure, God is real, but how can I make him real and still retain the control over my own life? Basically, what people are saying today is, I want to be a sinner and a saint. And Jesus is very clear that you cannot be both. People say, I want to sin and I want to be saved, but you can't have both. I want to fornicate and be forgiven. I want to hurt people and still be holy. I want to take life, but I still want eternal life. Friends, if you're trying to balance this act, you will never succeed. And you will only make for a life of misery because you're trying to do something that can never be done. You cannot mix holy with unholiness. You cannot mix the spirit with the carnal. And what's the funny, ironic thing about what they're trying to accomplish here, and they even said it in the last verse that we read in our last study, they're worried that it says that then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. And the ironic thing is that the murder of Christ didn't even prevent the Romans from taking away both their place and their nation. As it's well documented in 70 AD, that the armies of Vespasian and Titus, they sacked and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They feared Jesus would be named new king and that Rome would have no other, since Rome would have no other king, they were afraid Rome would come in and completely wipe everything out. And so in their attempt to keep Rome out, all they ended up doing was causing Rome to come in eventually, which is a lesson in futility, folks. You cannot eradicate Jesus Christ. And in the world, if you're listening, which I'm sure you're not, you cannot eradicate the word of God. You cannot get rid of the truth because the rock of our salvation will never die. And you cannot get rid of the holy word of God. You cannot get rid of the holy name of Jesus. You cannot get rid of the eternal rock of our salvation. And self-preservation for the sake of self-exaltation is a recipe for eradication. I'm going to say that again because it's pretty good. Self-preservation for the sake of self-exaltation is a recipe for eradication. And that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to self-preserve themselves so they can self-exalt themselves. And that just led to a recipe for them to be eradicated. And they were. Look at verse 49. This is the man who had an idea. Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. So here is a man who actually did indeed prophesy about Jesus. But again, he did it on the basis of the corruption of power and corrupted vision. You see, men are capable of distorting anything to make it fit into their desires. The media thrusts this upon us all the time. Every commercial, every advertisement informs us that we can do whatever it is we want to do, that we are in control, that you make the choices, and you decide that you can be whatever you want to be. And someone would suggest that they were merely trying to save the whole nation of Israel before people everywhere began to follow Jesus, and they self-exalted him as king, and then Roman would bring down their forces and eradicate, you know, the nation of Israel. And so you might look at this and say, well, they're just trying to protect the whole nation. Better for one man to die, Caiaphas says, than for the entire nation to suffer. But I often wonder if the angels ever wanted to a good laugh. They just come down and read and listen to the commentaries of the religious leaders then and even today. Even the most godly visions and expectations can be led astray. That's the power of the human mind. And Caiaphas was in absolute power. And absolute power does what? Corrupts absolutely. But John gives us the new divine view. In this verse 51, we read, he did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he had prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for the nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. We'll stop right there. I'm just amazed at how much a person, how a man, even one who's allegedly a spiritual leader, can misinterpret God's word so blindly at times. And we just read that it actually says that he prophesied that year that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and that not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God. And so their conclusion to that was they plotted to take his life. So in their mind, they're saying, okay, Jesus is supposed to die for this nation and even for others. And they think that that prophecy means that they have been given permission to kill him. And for no other reason than just to fulfill a prophecy that he must die. Completely overlooking the entire Old Testament scriptures, completely overlooking everything that Jesus has done and said, and not even equating the atonement of sin through his sacrificial blood. And yet these were the apex of spiritual leaders in that time. And this man, this high priest, completely misunderstood God's plan. And listen, let me close here by telling you something. It is absolutely impossible. Listen, it is absolutely impossible to understand what is happening in life unless you see life from God's point of view. It's like trying to view something through a blurry lens and trying to make it out. You just cannot do it. And too many people have this, I call it umbrella AC syndrome. You know, it's like the guy that sells both. He sells umbrellas for rainy days and he sells ACs for hot days. But every day he wakes up, no matter whatever the weather, he's disappointed. You can't walk around without a proper understanding of life unless you have a proper understanding of God. It is absolutely impossible to understand what is happening in life unless you see life from God's point of view. Simply put, those who think biblically face life realistically. And I'm going to end right there because I want that to be the last thing you hear. Those who think biblically face life realistically. And friends, in this world today, we've got to face things in a realistic manner. Too many people are trying to hide the reality of what is going on in the church and out of the church, and they hide by hiding their face. They have ostrich syndrome where they just bury their head and fail to face head on the way that this world is heading. God is looking for warriors to rise up for the truth. Are you one of them? I pray you are. And I pray these messages, these verse-by-verse teachings are encouraging you and that they are strengthening you. Till next time, you have a blessed day, and come join us at the Washing Word or go to washingword.com. Have a blessed day.